Love Madison Volleyball is back, bringing the tough and gritty play Wisconsin is known for, featuring world-class athletes, including Wisconsin favorite Lauren Carlini. Get ready for fast digs, huge swings, and long rallies. This is volleyball built for Wisconsin fans, and this season, there are even more home matches to get behind. Tickets available now. Visit lovbmad.com/iHeart. Love Madison's new season begins January 2026.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick, and it's time for this week's One Last Thing with co-host Sean Asher. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm getting ready for the game this weekend. You know, our playoff hopes are still alive, and man, I'm optimistic after last week. I'm feeling like we have as good of a shot as anybody if we keep playing the way we played last week.
Yep, that would do it. I'd say in terms of what they would need to do during the playoffs. So they are in a good place. I mean, this is one of the things. I mean, I'll be very disappointed if they're eliminated before week 18. It could happen, but I'll be very disappointed if it does, even though, you know, there's probably a pretty reasonable chance. If the Ravens this week pull off the exacta, which means the Steelers lose to the Lions and they beat the Patriots. Each team is, the appropriate team is favored in both games. So about a 43 to 45% chance now that it happens. The week 17 game won't mean a thing. Are you in favor of resting all starters, including Lamar, for that one? You wouldn't rest all starters.
I don't know about, I mean, a quarter, you know, give them a quarter, a half, treat like a preseason game per se, you know, because I'd hate the fodder, and I'd hate the arguments about what if, because that never ends and there is no answer to what if. So like, I don't want to see rust, and I don't want to see them, you know, I don't want to see them come out against Pittsburgh and just completely stale because, you know, everybody's cold, but I also don't want anybody to get hurt. So in my mind, you know, give them a quarter, or, you know, give them a half, and even if the game's not competitive or it is, who cares? Pull Ronnie Stanley, pull Lamar, pull the key players. Definitely, I personally, Hamilton would not see the field that game, but it's probably the only one. You're on mute, bud.
Once per show, I tell you. What year do you think Lamar Jackson last saw preseason action, and how many total preseason snaps has he played in his entire career?
Oh man, that's a great trivia question. I'm gonna guess it was the year that I'm gonna guess the last time he saw preseason action was the year JK tore his knee. And what was that, 3 or 4 years ago now? Man,
might have been 22 or 23.
Sounds about right. Snaps, man, I could give you a percentage, maybe 15.
15%?
Yeah.
All right. Let me see if I actually have that. But he hasn't played in a preseason game since 2021. Wow. Then he completed 3 of 4 passes. I don't have his total snaps sitting in front of me here, but I could get there. In terms of offense, he played 203 career preseason snaps, including that 2018 season where he had 156 of those 203 when he wasn't the starter.
Yeah.
Going into 19 and 20, of course, they knew he'd be playing, and he hasn't seen the field basically since then.
Makes sense.
All right, but we're not going to talk about Lamar Jackson. We're going to talk about Zay Flowers. And Zay Flowers, I think, is, if we talk about topics we could be really happy about this week, Zay Flowers has had a fine, fine year. And we're going to each come up with three things we really liked about what's happened to him this year that was a little bit different. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so for me, I think what I've been most pleased to see out of Zay Flowers this year has been the advancement in his separation in the short and intermediate passing game. And, you know, coming out of college in, what was it? This is year three now. So coming out of college, we saw the feet, we saw the quickness, but we didn't really know how that was going to translate to an NFL level. We didn't know, like, is he going to be the Steve Smith? Is he going to be just undersized and he's going to get bullied on press man coverage? And what we've seen this year is a real development of his head movement in combination with his feet movement to be able to sell and get a defender to just open up hips one way or the other and, you know, bite off of that movement and that momentum he's trying to show them. And it's created a lot of separation in the short and intermediate game, which has been such a great thing to see.
Yeah, it definitely has been a fantastic receiver in one particular way I'm going to get to with my first item, and it's closely tied to yours. So I'll just go, and then we'll talk about both at the end of this. I think Zay has very quickly developed into the best crossing route receiver in the game. His size certainly helps him a lot with that in terms of getting separation. Is there some head involved? Sure, but route running is not his thing. It's what's great about him is his size. That's where he has his biggest advantage with it is at the top of the stem. You can't tell where he's going to go because he doesn't give it away early like bigger receivers do that have to sink their hips and do what's known as sitting in the chair to decelerate. And then whether they're going to stop and go or whether they're going to stop and come back. So anyway, he's got a big advantage there, and he's used it to tremendous value this year, getting open between level two and three. And Lamar Jackson has definitely a chemistry with him in terms of hitting him in stride in those areas and finding him in an open space. It's really Lamar's favorite kind of throw, certainly, is to see the receiver break open and then throw to him, and he's very good at it. And Zay has been perfect for that role.
And also to piggyback off of both of these points, especially with the crossing, you know, a lot of these shifty, smaller guys over the years, you see them get just lit up. And it's, you know, part of it's a different NFL and you can't really headhunt like you used to be able to do. But also Zay does a pretty good job of protecting himself amongst that with his size. He's pretty good at being able to navigate the spaces in between defensive line linebackers in front of them and find those soft spots that he's not going to take those huge hits.
Good point. And he certainly has been a guy who knew how to get down when it's appropriate to get down. In fact, at some points, I think that kind of hinders him a little bit. There are some things as a receiver he could probably do better there. I'm sure we might get into that later, but I don't want to spoil anything. But it does do a good job of getting down when it's appropriate after the catch. I think Bateman does too. I think we've seen some of that from him. Flowers maybe because he's got a little bit more of a fumbling problem. It's really important too, not just because of the injuries.
Yeah, I'd be happy to hear that this is a coaching point that our coaches are telling these guys, like, hey, we don't need you getting hurt. We don't need you taking the hits, you know, because that's a mentality, you know, that a lot of players have. They want to get those extra yards. They want to, you know, they want to make the play. And if it ever comes out that that's something Ravens are coaching and saying, like, hey, don't risk yourself. Like, I that makes me happy to hear.
All right, let's go to number two.
So for my number two, I think one thing that I've really kind of noticed this year, and that's, I guess, a little bit more pronounced this year than other years, is the scramble drill. And there's a lot that goes into that. Like, you're running your route, and you have to be aware of the timing of your route and, like, timing of the quarterback and, like, oh, if I'm not getting hit in this window, then chances are I'm not getting that ball. And then you have to adjust. And I feel like Zay has done a really good job this year of being able to understand where those windows are for his specific routes and then decide to make a change based off of what's going on and work back to the quarterback, work open to soft spots and zones, and really kind of, you know, help Lamar as Lamar's doing what Lamar does best, which is, you know, get outside the pocket, make decisions, throw on the run.
So no doubt about it. He's been valuable in that regard. Andrews has always been valuable in that regard. And Lamar is at his best when there's more players involved in the scramble drill. The years they had Nelson Aguilar, he was a good guy in that. Isaiah Likely has been a good guy. Hasn't always been him this year in terms of getting him the ball. And I thought that Bateman made advances in that last year where 24 really was a fantastic year for Lamar, obviously from a statistical point of view, but also in terms of finding new ways to leverage being outside the pocket and scrambling around and finding multiple receivers, not having everybody follow what are the normal rules for the scramble drill in terms of, you know, the player on the one sideline goes to the sideline immediately and comes back downhill. And you need to break the rules a lot of times with Lamar Jackson. He's happy to throw back to the middle of the field, the thing you're never supposed to do. And he's very effective at it. And that's so hopefully something that, we keep seeing from Lamar. And I think it's best done when he has five guys all looking to find grass at the same time. All right, I'll move on. I'll talk about his use as a vertical receiver. This is something really underscores some of the difference between Marquise Brown and Zay Flowers. And Zay Flowers and Marquise Brown, a lot of people see them and they go, well, they're both smaller receivers and they, you know, they're faster. Very different. Very, very different. First of all, Marquise Brown was probably faster. I don't know exactly how much faster. You really notice it on a big, fast guy like Tez Walker, how much faster he is than Zay Flowers. But Marquise Brown was a little faster, and he had real run under the ball speed. Lamar would throw him a ball deep, and they'd use that deep ball a lot in the years that Marquise was in Baltimore. Neither of them are optimally sized for the deep ball. The suddenness from Zay can make his vertical route running something the opponent fears. But in order to fear it, they have to actually show they'll do it. And so we've seen some of that this year. I think that I've been very positive on that. It hasn't just been finding space between level two and three, even in like whole shot areas like we saw against the Bengals a couple of times. It's going over the top. And the touchdown on the left sideline, left side of the end zone was a good example of that. At safety, better fear all of those possibilities, you know, in terms of what might happen. So the other good thing about it is that safeties have to choose. Now, they really have to choose whether he crosses or goes deep. So this is kind of like slipping in a fourth plus for him in a way. But they have to make a choice relatively early if they're going to bite on a crossing route and come downhill and try and take that away from Zay Flowers. In some ways, they're in the same kind of pickle that corner is in. But if they want to try and play it deep, and they, you know, deep outside is deep outside, as I've heard from Dan Dierdorf, you know, in the 2012 playoff win, they better be in the right place if they're making a choice like that. So safeties making choices and safeties having to fear Zay Flowers is a very big deal for the Ravens offense in general in terms of what it creates in terms of space in the middle of the field.
And it also it creates a lot more space for Lamar Jackson to do what Lamar Jackson does best. Because, you know, even if it's a yard, even if it's one more yard that a safety has to step back from the line of scrimmage because Zay Flowers is there, give Lamar Jackson a yard, man. Like, we've seen what the dude can do with a yard, and it's impressive, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, in some ways, I feel like let Lamar Jackson do what Lamar Jackson used to be able to do. We're at a point right now. I don't think this is permanent for Lamar. I do think he's going to be back in 26 and be the player that we remember him being, or 90% of that. But this has been a very tough year for the Ravens for exactly that reason, is that Lamar's just not having the umongo scrambles that he's had in past years. And he really hasn't had them since early in the season. That Buffalo game had a beautiful run late where he was caught 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage for a sack and ends up running for 19 yards, I think it was, on the play. We just haven't seen enough of that this year. So I do hope that comes back to be a big part of the game. And Zay impacting safeties is going to help the Ravens no matter what, whether it's helping another receiver or whether it's helping Jackson, or even sometimes whether it's helping a running back. You wait and you delay your handoff, or even you go to the mesh point and that safety is still thinking RPO. Anything that Zay can do to manipulate a safety might actually still help you there. So anyway. Yeah.
I have to agree with you that this is definitely a regression year, but I am inclined to believe that this is, barring an injury or twilight of Lamar's career, this season is going to be a statistical anomaly for him. And also, I was thinking about this the other day. It's funny that we're talking about it now. It's like, man, Lamar, like, and I'm thinking about Lamar and where we're at in this season. I'm like, you know, and I just remember you in like 2019 telling us over and over and over again, guys, this is special. You are not going to see this again. It's not possible. This is the outlier. This is three standard deviations away from the norm. You're not going to see this again. So soak it in.
Well, it was a great year. And particularly for the Ravens offense as a whole, mm-hmm. It had all the elements to it. It had a good offensive line, which was part of it. I know people complaining endlessly about the offensive line. Well, Lamar's played with some offensive lines that are almost as bad as this current one is and done very well. So that, I don't think that's really been the issue solely. But you know, I think it's been Lamar's injury basically that has held the team back more than anything. But in any case, that 19 team, there was some accentuation of positive factors by the reality that the NFL had not really faced anything like Lamar at that point. Even Michael Vick in his prime, you know, was not who Lamar was in 2019, and the 3.08 yards per drive, or sorry, points per drive, really speaks to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, my last thing that I've loved from Zay this year is you're not seeing a lot of disconnect between him and Lamar. And, you know, if you just watch the NFL and you listen to the radio announcers or you listen to the broadcast announcers, you've heard the saying, they're on the wrong page, or somebody's not on the right page. And you hear that at least once a game between some quarterback and some wide receiver. And we're not hearing that a lot from Zay and Lamar this year. Like, I can't remember one off the top of my head where, you know, Lamar's looking at a defense and Zay's supposed to run a deep post instead of cutting it back in, or so, like, I haven't really heard that. It hasn't popped up. So in my mind, it's kind of like an offensive lineman. If you're not hearing that this guy messed up, then he's doing pretty good. And we don't hear a lot of that disconnect between him and Lamar. And, you know, part of that's a byproduct of tier three. They're working together. You know, they understand each other more and more. But also, I mean, if you think about the other wide receivers drafted that year, like, that's still a thing for some people. So, you know, to not have that be a big deal in year three, that's pretty impressive for me.
You know, sometimes a receiver just needs a change of scenery to get a better situation. And I, for whatever reason, Marquise Brown wasn't happy playing with Lamar Jackson. I think you could argue the reasons are kind of petty, but they, you know, they're both South Florida guys. They had a lot in common otherwise that they should have really wanted to play together for longer. Or really what it comes down to is Marquise should have wanted to play with Lamar for longer. I can't imagine that Zay after this year is going to think, yeah, I should be somewhere else. Now,
let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
George Pickens, he needed to be somewhere else for a lot of reasons. You know, he had worn out his welcome in Pittsburgh. They were tired of him. You know, he was obviously a diva, and they the Dallas situation ended up being perfect for him. And there's plenty of other receivers that have made a move at some point during their career, and it's been the right move. I really think it'd be the wrong move for Zay Flowers to change spots in the NFL. I think it would really hurt him. I know it would hurt the Ravens, but I think it would be the wrong move for Flowers. He could potentially become a much less receiver with some other quarterback. I just think he's coming up on his fourth year next year. So the Ravens have to make the decision on the fifth year option this offseason. I imagine they'll do it, if for no other reason than to give them the competitive friction to make an offer some point before the 2026 season starts to sign him long term. So that's be the most likely signing thing. Now, they did not get that done with Tyler Linderbaum, but they also didn't have the fifth year option on him. They did get it done with Kyle Hamilton, and they did have the fifth year option with him ready to go. They didn't even have to do it a year early. So They could wait with Zay until before his fifth season. That would be before 2027 if they really wanted to. But I still think it's possible they would make the deal before 26, incorporate the amounts that he's scheduled to make into the agreement for a deal, and then come up with a price tag that makes sense for both sides.
I agree, and I agree for so many reasons, but mostly because if I put myself in Zay Flowers' shoes, I can't, because I'm going to tear an ACL just trying to move, you know, like one juke and my ACL is gone. But the opportunity for him to go somewhere else, like, yeah, he can make more money for sure. That's the whole point of free agency. Players can get paid more money. But long term, you know, how many players have we seen leave that sign a five-year deal and then only get 3 years out of that because, like, system, scheme, and like the team that they're going to isn't a great team, and they're spending big money in free agency, and then, you know, it doesn't work, and then, you know, we end up signing Michael Pierce back. You know, it's like these things happen, and the opportunity for that to happen is in my mind, you know, it's kind of higher just because of the physical limitations of the guy. You know, he doesn't have this giant catch radius. He's not this, he's not, you know, so it's like the opportunity to go somewhere and be quote unquote the guy and then it not work out as great as everybody had hoped and relationships sour, you know, that's a real thing in my mind that could happen.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And I think that, you know, if he's Zay Flowers probably will not elevate the play of a quarterback who has some accuracy issues. I think that would be a big problem for him. And that might be the kind of quarterback he gets linked up with. If he if he were to play with, say, Sam Darnold, who, you know, is having a great year, no doubt about it, or if he were to play with, you know, maybe Jared Goff or something like that, I don't see it working out nearly as well for him as it does with Lamar here.
The only type of scenario I could see it work out is where he takes something similar to what we would offer to go with the similar style or similar quality level of quarterback, you know? So then it's like, why would you leave to do that, you know?
Well, maybe the Bengals will sign a third wide receiver because, you know, they want to spend all their money on offense. All right, I'm going to move on here. Number of statistical things about a season are good, and some are understood limitations. And this is where I'm going with the third point here. The big point here I'm making is that he's had better yak on somewhat worse yak targets. So basically, if you throw between level two and level three, it's probably not as good for yak as if you throw behind the line of scrimmage on wide receiver screens. By their nature, and a lot of it is garbage yards, they're red yards, as I call them. You're earning back the yards behind the line of scrimmage a lot of time, but it's very frequent for running backs, not frequent, it happens for running backs occasionally, that they'll have more yards after the catch in a season than they have yards, receiving yards in a season. And I think, you know, Marquise had that going for him when he was doing more of the gadget plays, whether it's a jet toss or wide receiver screen or whatever it might be to make a little space for him behind the line of scrimmage and make a nice, easy pitch and catch throw. But he's had 5.5 yak per reception this year. That's 18th among 74 receivers that have 60 plus targets. His ADOT of 10.0 is right in the middle. So it's not like he's doing it with a bunch of short passes. He's got a normal, average, medium, normal, high volume wide receiver distance of from the line of scrimmage of his targets. The passer rating throwing to him is 100.5. That's not particularly good, by the way. That's right in the middle. Some of it will have to do with the item that I chose for the one thing he needs to work on still, so we'll get back to that a little later. He's seventh in yards per route run at 2.33. That's outstanding. All right. Now, I know a lot of people put more value into that because not only is it yards per target, but it also has how often is he targeted when he's on the field. So it's nice from that perspective to add a layer there. Of course, when you're playing in an offense that all runs through Lamar Jackson, you don't always get a great YPRR number out of your seasons. Anyway, 2.33, if you could have five Zay Flowers on the field, you know, you basically have 11.65 yards per passing attempt you'd have. So obviously 2.33 is fantastic. And he takes some downs off in order to get there, which is good. Does not have a lot of contested catches. He's only got six on the entire season, but the rate is good. So he's not sacrificing a ton of rate. He's 24th of 74 receivers in that same group again at 55% in terms of the contested catch rate, 6 of 11. So a lot of things to look at this year statistically and say, yeah, I really like most of this about Zay from a statistical basis. And in particular, the thing I'd point to is the yak being as good as it is something that, given all the things, including some of the things you said about, you know, when he's crossing horizontally and going down quickly and things like that, even with his willingness to do that, that yak is still a good number.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk improvements, Sean. I know you had one and I had one. Let's hear it.
Yeah, for me, man, it's what you just alluded to, man. I'm counting at least 10 yards a game that this guy, if he just goes forward, there's another 10 yards. And it makes my blood boil. I also understand it because, like, I'm going to tear an ACL if I try to do one of those things. So, like, I'm not qualified to really say, like, nah, dude, you're wrong. You should be doing this. But man, sometimes it's like you've already got the first down or you're right there. Just fall forward instead of trying to spin or trying this extra juke. And, you know, part of the reason it frustrates me too is because, like, every time you spin and you juke, you're giving more opportunity for not only you to fumble, but for more of the defense that you're facing, you're giving them more time for rally to get on that fumble. And it just, you know, like, I'm like, man, if there was one time a game, I'd be like, okay, I get it. This comes with the territory of this playmaker. I get it. But when it's two or three times a game, I'm like, dude, come on.
Okay, so I think you're the best point you had in there was about the risk of fumble and the risk of rallying to the football. I think that is legitimate in Flowers' case. My problem with him is hands in general, but definitely includes the fumbling. He looks like he's playing with chopsticks at time, and more than pretty much any receiver since Marquise Brown, and they're probably the two most extreme guys in Ravens history. I've just felt like they're just like stabbing with two kneading needles at the ball, you know, sometimes trying to make sure they catch it. And I'm more concerned probably than I should be. Mark Andrews gets the football. He immediately latches onto it. And, you know, AFC divisional game aside, you know, that ball is typically in there and it's not coming out even when he takes a fairly significant hit. Not the case with Zay. And he's had a drop rate that is the 30th worst of 74. So that means he's like 45th of 74. It's not the worst place to be in the world, 40th percentile or thereabouts, but it's not exactly where you'd want to be as a top flight receiver either. I'd say the two bigger things are the fumbles, which we've talked about some. I don't know. We think we need to talk about it too much, but his two fumbles are tied for fourth among the same receiver group. There aren't that many players who have two fumbles. So anyway, that's bad for a receiver. Yep. And he's certainly got a history with it, including the AFC Championship game fumble, we'll remember. So he's got some things he could probably improve on there. One thing he can't really improve on too much is the catch radius. He's built physically with some limitations that mean he's got a smaller catch radius, shorter arms and whatnot that just don't allow for the broad catch radius of a big-bodied receiver. But there is an onus on him, I think, to improve his functional catch radius by at least reaching back. It does not even have to catch the ball. He has to oftentimes disrupt a potential interception. So if you reach, if the ball is thrown behind the receiver, there's oftentimes a trailing coverage player there who may have a chance at it. It's really on him to reach back and get a piece of that ball and hopefully knock it away. Most of the time, that's a good thing. If you have a loose bracket coverage over the top, then it can be not a good thing to be reaching back for the football like that. But most of the time, it's gonna help disrupt the interception. And just if there's one thing to work on. With relation to the one thing you said about Yak too, I'd really like him to go to some off-season receiver training and work out a really top-notch U-turn move. Guys who do come back for the ball a lot, and Flowers is doing some of that between level two and level three, are guys who really just have eyes in their back of their head a lot of times about where the leverage of that defender is closest to them, and they could figure out quickly how to make a two-yard move coming back towards the ball and then turn that around into 10 more yards on the catch. That's the kind of thing I want to see him do. I'd love to see him create some more elusiveness. He has 14 missed tackles this year, and they're all elusiveness-based. He's not a power missed tackle guy. So his number is decent, and it's a pretty good rate relative to catches. But it's one of these things that I think he could improve that with some good U-turn magic.
I love that point too, because like that improving that piece of his game can be the difference between winning or losing a game. One play, you know, if that happens one time a game and it's a tight game and he's able to make the U-turn, break up an interception, you know, that's the difference between being that guy versus being a guy, or you know what I'm saying? Like, you saved the game by that one thing right there. So I love that point.
All right. Sean, always a pleasure talking football with you. This is a fun episode to talk about Zay Flowers. I hope we still have time for some fun episodes this year with the Ravens remaining in contention and whatnot. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I am on X at @bmore_sky, SKY underscore high, HIGH. And before we break, I'm going to put you on the spot just because I'm super fascinated. Where would you rank him for Ravens wide receivers? Not drafted, but like all
the receivers. Any you've ever played with the team?
Yeah. And I, you know, not just statistics or impact, but like your personal rankings where like Zay Flowers highlights the ingrained in your memory or, you know, wherever you're like, you know, who's he above, who's right behind him.
Okay. So it's difficult to compare him to Torrey Smith at this exact time, but I'd say in terms of he's played with a better quarterback and he's been probably more productive. I think he's better than Steve Smith at that point in his career when he's playing with the Ravens. I go back to Michael Jackson and Derek Alexander were outstanding in the first Ravens years. Those are guys who certainly would compete with him in terms of the top spot. I don't think Marquise Brown is in the same category as him. Mason and Bolden. Okay, so Mason is a longevity guy.
Yep.
And Bolden is a contested catch guy, never a great yards per target guy with Flacco. I mean, the current guys have the outstanding rate numbers, whether that's Bateman or Flowers, because they get to play with Lamar Jackson. So, you know, in terms of that, now the guy who did get to play with Lamar Jackson didn't really make good on it was Marquise.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, we'll see Zay separate from other receivers in Ravens history over the rest of his career. That'd be what I hope for.
Yeah. I think for me personally, Mason's number one, just because there was like 2 years in Madden, his route running was 99. It was that 5 yard out was like unstoppable. It didn't matter. Right. And then Bolden and then Zay for me.
Okay.
So slightly above Torrey. It's hard for me to put Alexander and Jackson in there because I was in elementary school. So it's like could be biased or, you know, just ignorant. But that's where he's at for me.
Yeah, I understand the feeling. I remember the Orioles had their 20th anniversary season in 1974 and they had this great yearbook that had all these old players in it as a bunch of players I'd never heard of. You know, I knew who Dick Williams, the manager, was. I didn't know who Dick Williams, the Orioles, you know, utility guy was, and a bunch of Hal Skinny Brown and Don Ferraris and a bunch of guys from the 1950s who were there. And I know a little bit more about them now than I did then, but that was only 20 years removed. And, you know, we're 30 years removed now from the first Ravens games, or right. 29 anyway. And I have to understand, even though, you know, I still retain a lot of these great visual memories, and I just need to count myself lucky, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
All right. Other folks out there, thanks so much for your loyalty to the show. Really appreciate you listening. And, you know, we've had a slight decline in listens, frankly, as this season has gone on. I'm not surprised by it, given the way the Ravens played early on, but you guys have been great. Please use hashtag film study mailbag and hit us up with some questions. I'd love to hear from you and try and answer those in either on one of the shows or in a short video. And by the way, if you have a preference of a show, just toss that right in with the question and I'll try and get it sorted out properly. For Sean Asher, this is Kenny Cusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next time on One Last Thing.
Love Madison Volleyball is back, bringing the tough and gritty play Wisconsin is known for. Featuring world-class athletes, including Wisconsin favorite Lauren Carlini. Get ready for fast digs, huge swings, and long rallies. This is volleyball built for Wisconsin fans, and this season there are even more home matches to get behind. Tickets available now. Visit lovmad.com/iHeart. Love Madison's new season begins January 2026.